To Joshua, chapter 13. Joshua 13. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years when the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains to be possessed. This is a land that remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites, from the Shihor, which is east of Egypt, even as far as the border of Ekron to the north. It is counted as Canaanite. The five lords of the Philistines, the Gazite, the Ashdodite, the Ashkelonite, the Gittite, the Ekronite, and the Avite. To the south, all the land of the Canaanite and Mira that belongs to the Sidonians as far as Aphek to the border of the Amorite. The land of the Gebelite and all of Lebanon toward the east from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon as far as Lebo Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon as far as Misrephoth, Maim, all the Sidonians, I will drive them out from before the sons of Israel, only allotted to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. Now therefore apportion this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. While the other half-tribe, the Reubenite and the Gadite, received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond the Jordan to the east, just as Moses, servant of the Lord, gave to them. From Aroer, which is the edge of the valley of Arnon, and the city which is in the middle of the valley, and all the plain of Deba, as far as Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the border of the sons of Ammon, and Gilead, and the territory of the Geshurites, the Maachathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan, as far as Salaka, all the king of Og and Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and in Edrei, he alone was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. For Moses struck them and dispossessed them. But the sons of Israel did not dispossess the Geshurites or the Maachathites, for Geshur and Maachath live among Israel until this day. Only to the tribe of Levi did he not give an inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance as he spoke to him. So Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of the sons of Reuben according to their families, and their territory was from Aroer, which is in the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and the city which is in the middle of the valley, and all the plain of Medeba, Heshbon and all its cities which are on the plain, Dibon and Baalmoth Baal and Beth Baal Maon, and Jahaz and Kedemoth and Mephath, Kiriathim, and Sibma, and Zerah Shahar on the hill of the valley, and Beth Peor, the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth Jeshimoth, even all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses struck with the chiefs of Midian, Evi, and Rechem, and Zer, and Hur, and Reba, the prince of Sihon, who lived in the land. The sons of Israel also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, the diviner with the sword, among the rest of their slain. And the borders of the sons of Reuben was the Jordan. This is the inheritance of the sons of Reuben according to their families, the cities, and their villages. Moses also gave an inheritance to the tribe of Gad, to the sons of Gad according to their families. And their territory was Jazer and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the sons of Ammon, as far as Aroer, which is before Rabbah. And from Heshbon as far as Ramath Mizpeh and Betonim, and from Mahanaim as far as the border of Debir, and the valley of Beth Haram, and Beth Nimrah, and Succoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, with the Jordan as a border, as far as the lower end of the Sea of Chinnereth, beyond the Jordan to the east. This is the inheritance of the sons of Gad, according to their families, the cities and their villages. Moses also gave an inheritance to the half tribe of Manasseh. And it was for the half-tribe of the sons of Manasseh according to their families, and their territories from Mahanaim, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 60 cities. Also half of Gilead with Ashtaroth and Edrei, the cities of the king of Og in Bashan, were for the sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, for half of the sons of Machir according to their families. These are the territories which Moses apportioned for an inheritance in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan at Jericho to the east. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses did not give an inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance as he had promised to them. Amen. All right. Chapter 12 is the list of the kings, and now 13, and this will go all the way into about 24, and this is the apportionment of the land, and they've come to this place. The beginning here, Joshua, it says here that he was old. Joshua died, we'll find out in the end of the book of Joshua, about 120, 118 years, roughly around that time. And so he is in this place, and he's getting older. So most likely they think that he's probably about 100 years old at this stage here. He's getting a bit older, but yet there's still a lot of the land that God had given to Israel that still are not in possession of them. Now, you have to make a distinction between rulership and possession. So some of this land during the reign of David and Solomon were under their rulership. In other words, David and Solomon commanded most of this land that we're talking about here, but they never possessed the land. And that actually becomes the problem or the issue that we are still facing today. That's why, you know, when they think about the Messiah, the Messianic reign, they think that that's going to be a fulfillment of what David and Solomon did. And so, again, they had rulership, but even David and Solomon didn't possess this land that we're talking about here. And it's still quite a formidable chunk. And in fact, they actually never possessed some of this land. Again, rulership, but they never did that thing. And you'll notice that part of the land that was given to Israel, the possession of the land was really based on obedience. And so if they obeyed the Lord and they did right by God and were holy, then God let them possess. Now, if they didn't do that, then they couldn't enter into the land. And so the picture of what we see here, the writer of Hebrews later on will use the same imagery or the same metaphor, but instead he'll call it rest. And obviously he's talking about an eternal rest, and the Israelites didn't get any rest. Why? Because they didn't believe in God. In a sense, they didn't have faith in God that he would do what he said he would do. And then that's transfixed to the now, the rest, the same thing. They didn't believe that God was God, and so they never entered into rest. And so you have this kind of idea. And, you know, when you don't possess a land, there is no rest. Because then you need soldiers, you need to fortify, you're a constant threat, war, etc., 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 etc. And that becomes the major issue that's even leading up to now in this place. Now, so it's, remember the two tribes and the half tribe, the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh, they were on the other side of the Jordan. Moses had already given that land. So now we're dealing with the other basically nine and a half tribes, nine and a half tribes. So now we're dealing with the rest of those, and over the next few chapters, we'll see the allotment. But notice in verse 6. He says, all the inhabitants of the hill country, Lebanon as far as Mishrapoth-Maim and the Sidonians, I will drive them out from before the sons of Israel. In other words, I will dispossess them, only allotted to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. This is a summary statement. So notice here, now the process by which they're going to release this land for the other nine and a half tribes is going to be by lot. And lot meaning it's like lottery. Very similar word that comes from that. They're just gonna pick something, and the lot falls on them. Then that's what's going to happen. And it seems quite peculiar that why would God do this way now? Why would he choose a bit of a random medium by which to relay all this land? And, you know, primarily, seemingly, this seemed to be the fairest way to divide up the rest of the land. And so they cast lots, and so he apportioned, even though they never possess, or they need to dispossess the land and grab and possess the land, it was still allotted to the sons of Israel. So they may never have taken captive of it, but it was still theirs. And really, I mean, if you really think about this, this is kind of like, you know, Dr. Ryan talked about Eldon Ladd, the here and yet to come, you know, the kingdom of God theology. The kingdom of God is here right now, but it's also yet to come. And it's a similar idea. They they didn't possess the land, but the land was theirs. That would be in line with, think about blessings that God has in our life. God speaks into our life and he says, this is yours, but you may not actually possess it, but it belongs to you. And we live in that time of the here and also yet to come. If you're totally confused, then you need to go read George Eldon Ladd, The Gospel of the Kingdom, and give you an idea what that's like. And so he does it by lot, but you notice something. If you look at Genesis, I think it's chapter 49, and then Deuteronomy 33, Genesis 49 is where Jacob begins to bless his sons, and he prophesies over them. He says, you know, this son, this is what you're like. This son, you know, you're a man of war. You know, this son, et cetera, et cetera. And each one gets something. Now, you kind of cross-reference that with Deuteronomy chapter 33, and Moses does the same thing, and Moses in 33 gives these depictions of what, not only where they're going to be at with some clues, but what kind of people they're going to be, and the blessing, you know, some are going to be tradesmen, some are going to be powerful, some are going to be rich in natural resources, and so on and so forth. Some of the people will be about people on the hill country, some of them will be in the valley, some of them be great ocean farers, and he begins to allot them, and really, this is what I find the most striking of all. When you take Genesis 49, Deuteronomy 33, so it's Jacob's prophecy, and then it's now Moses' prophecy, and then you cross-reference that by the land that was given to the Israelites by lot. In other words, you know, Joshua didn't say, okay, you guys get this, you guys, they chose lots, usually, you know, some kind of stick, or they would use different things, and they chose lots, and you can see how this is a divine matter, that they got exactly what was predicted from Moses and Jacob in Genesis and also in Deuteronomy. The seafaring tribe that, you know, Moses prophesied, guess what? They get to live by the sea. And the land that was apportioned to them was by the sea. The ones that they're going to be mighty in the mountains, guess what? The lot that falls on them are the hill country. And it's just this really amazing picture of even in choosing the lots, it's God's sovereignty over the whole situation. And the choosing lots was really, if by this time, the fairest way to do it. No one could say, hey, you know, we fought hard, you know, just like those guys did. Why do they get this land? And, you know, why does this happen? And you could see that as Israel begins to age, there is a nod to a possibility of dissension and jealousy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, about to come forth. So they choose lots. You can't really, the lot falls on you, that's it. You can't really complain so much, but even when that happens, and so on a human side, fairness, but on the divine side, God gives them exactly what he wanted to give them. Do you guys understand that? And so we see how that he appeals to the humanity of the Israelites, but yet in the same way his divine nature is clearly seen and clearly understood and clearly laid out for these people here, you know, in this place. And so each one, they're given these certain pieces of land, which, like I said, will continue on over and over again. Chapter 15 is the territory of Judah. Chapter 16 is the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, Benjamin, Simeon. Basically, most of the middle parts of Joshua deal with the apportionment. This one, chapter 13, deals primarily with before the Jordan, and then we'll get to the Trans-Jordan later on as we get this. Now, again, notice something I said earlier. Their possession of the land was contingent on their obedience to the Lord. So they received the land. In other words, there was allotted to them. This land, okay, this part here, let's say we'll use one of these this part of the Philistines where the Gazites and the Ashdodites are, this is your land. You need to possess it, but the way they can do that is to really walk in obedience to the Lord. And it really becomes conditional. Now, the sad part is that a lot of these lands that were given to certain tribes, those tribes did not follow the Lord. And as a result, unfortunately, they never possessed the land. It was allotted to them, but they never, ever possessed it. And how sad is that? It's so sad. You know, we just had Hannah's birthday party last week, and I don't know why, but she invited like 12 friends. So our house was like mayhem. But which means she got 12 presents, and she was very happy about that. Now, when she got a gift, I guarantee you, she opened every single one of them. In fact, when she received the gift, after every one, you know, the kids would come over and say, "Oh, Hannah, happy birthday." And she would turn to me and says, "Appa, can I open it right now?" So she said that about 12 times to me. And I said, "No, Hannah, you got to wait till after, you know, we have cake and, you know, we have fun and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." But, I mean, just imagine Hannah having, you know, these 12 gifts and just not even opening them. And they're just sitting on the shelf somewhere for years, for generations. That's pretty much what happened to the Israelites in some ways. They were given a gift by the Lord, and it was more than just a birthday present. It was their inheritance as the people of God. But because they disobeyed, they never got to possess the land. And brothers and sisters, that becomes a central issue in the Middle East right now. They say, "Well, you know, the Arabs say, well, you abandoned this land, right? So, I mean, you're never really here anyway, so why do you want it now?" And the Israelites come back, "Well, this is a land that God gave to us, but you never took it over. So, you know, I mean, you know, how does this work?" And that was really the dilemma of the Brits when they were dividing up the land, and as well as the dilemma that we still see here in this place. And so let's close our eyes. Now let's bring this home right now. What has God promised to you that you do not possess right now? What is yours by promise or by inheritance, but actually not in your hands? Or you are something that you're experiencing in your life right now. Now, the main issue here, the Israelites, was disobedience. So the first mode of prayer should be to search our hearts. It's the prayer of David in the Psalms, "Search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any hurtful thing within me. And lead me in the everlasting way." So are there any areas of disobedience in your life that are preventing you from possessing your inheritance? That's one. Now, as you search your heart and there is nothing like that, then the next part is to pray and ask God for that possession to be materialized now. It's to intercede and join God in His prayers. Right, the first mode is there any disobedience? Is there anything I need to repent of? Is there anything that I'm doing or not doing, sins of omission, sins of commission, that preventing me from possessing my inheritance in God? For instance, maybe the Lord has spoken to you about your parent who's ill, right? And you know by His stripes that we are healed, but your parent is not receiving that healing. Pray for repentance. If nothing's happening there, or if you've been walking obedience, then intercede. It's going to happen. Now you just need to join God in those prayers. to let heaven materialize here on earth. Let your will be done in heaven, or let your will be done on earth as it already has been done in heaven, the Lord's Prayer. As Nate leads us in a song, I want to encourage you to keep that in mind as we seek the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray over those things that have been allotted to us. The promises of God, that you do not yet possess. It's yours. It's totally yours. But it just not has materialized in your life. Let's pray for that transaction from heaven to come and to materialize by first stepping into repentance, by stepping into that place of walking in obedience. And then if you've done that and you feel like, no, there's nothing really there, then step into that place of intercession and pray His purposes in. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's sick, have battling illness and cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray that God would reveal Himself to them and they would trust the Lord for their lives as well as being healed. Healing would just be icing on the cake. And let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. So with our mission focus, let's pray for China. Let's ask for Holy Spirit to continue to bless the country. Pray for our family in Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe and their baby. Ask the Lord to really continue to minister to them. Pray for the board members there as well, that they will continue to grow. This Saturday is their Thanksgiving celebration, and pray that they'll really have an incredible time of fellowship. Pray for the Chung family and as they continue to minister in China, Matt and Nate's parents. So pray for Edie Clark and the churches, and let's just lift up China to the Lord and ask for God's Spirit to flow through this place. Pray for the board. Let's ask the Lord to continue to use our leaders as they cover our church in prayer, and as they make wise decisions in leading our church in the path that God has chosen for us. And let's pray for protection over the family, and that they would just really, everyone, be a person of prayer and heart before God. Let's cover our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for welcoming and barista. Let's pray that our church, everyone would be welcomers, that the atmosphere over our body would really be one of kindness and generosity and joy. Let's pray for our leaders and volunteers in these ministries that would serve the Lord with all their heart. Let's pray over our men's and women's ministries. So let's pray for our Monday morning men's prayer meeting, the Pure Desire Group, the men's fraternity, also the women's ministry as they are planning and strategizing as they launch. And let's pray for the young adults, men and women, that the Lord would just continue to touch them and use them. And let's pray for these ministries. Thank you. Let's pray for house church meeting tonight. Pray for Causeway Bay, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit, Symbia, Lion Rock, and McRobinson. I pray for Holy Spirit to be with our discussion. And a lot of the groups are having their Thanksgiving celebrations. And let's pray for real heart of Thanksgiving to flow. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. God, thank you today. Thank you for the word, God. Thank you, Lord, that if we walk in obedience, God, and we follow hard after you, Lord, there's nothing that we cannot attain in you, Lord. And so help us, God, help us to be people of repentance, Lord, people of obedience, that we, as we follow you, God, that you make our path straight, Lord. And we thank you. Watch over us today, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.